A reading from Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter. When the Lord your God brings you into the land that you are to enter in, to take possession of it, and clears away many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, 7 nations more numerous and mightier than yourselves. And when the Lord your God gives them over to you, and you defeat them, then you must devote them to complete destruction. You shall make no covenant with them and show no mercy to them. You shall not intermarry with them, giving your daughters to their sons or taking their daughters for your sons. For they would turn away your sons from following me to serve other gods. Then the anger of the Lord would be kindled against you, and he would destroy you quickly. But thus you shall deal with them. You shall break down their altars and dash in pieces their pillars and chop down their asherim and burn their carved images with fire. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now therefore, that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repays to their face those who hate him by destroying them. He will not be slack with one who hates him. He will repay him to his face. You shall therefore be careful to do the commandment and the statutes and the rules that I command you today. This is the word of the Lord.
I'll be speaking in a little softer voice today because of the tenuous nature of my voice. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in this text from Deuteronomy, a key statement, a striking directive from God is, show them no mercy. Did God actually say that? Yes. Well, how can the same God who said, show them no mercy, also teach, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy? Here's some advice. Do not choose Deuteronomy 7 as the first text you will preach on as you come to your vicarage assignment or you go to the congregation to which you've been called. Scripture has a number of seemingly contradictory statements. In Proverbs 26 occur the verses, answer not a fool according to his folly, and answer a fool according to his folly. In response to the question, what must I do to be saved? Jesus said to the rich young man, obey the commandments. On the other hand, Paul said to the Philippian jailer, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, the apostle wrote in Romans, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by observing the law. So an apparent conflict between what God says concerning mercy in Deuteronomy 7 and in the Sermon on the Mount is not a total shock to us. But what does God's directive, show them no mercy, teach us about God? We see that God is God, and as God, he can command whatever he wants. The commentator Clements stated, no nation has any absolute right in itself or its land. It holds its existence subject to God's will and to that will alone. This, by the way, includes the United States. We might have a different opinion of how God should operate, but our opinion doesn't matter. We are weak, lowly, severely limited mortals, whereas God, the eternal, almighty one, sees and knows everything. Don't always try to figure out the will of God, because sometimes you won't be able to do so. Paul writes in Romans, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor?" Our text also reminds us that God is merciful, patient, and long-suffering, but there comes a time when his patience runs out and his mercy comes to an end. God had put up with the wickedness and abominations of the inhabitants of Canaan for centuries. These people formerly had had the truth, being descendants of Noah, and as evidenced by Melchizedek, king and priest of Jerusalem. But in the course of time, they suppressed and rejected this truth. They even twisted and darkened the natural knowledge of God, which they had from birth, and to which they added with their observations in nature, as Paul brings out in Romans 1. Having done away with the truth, they engaged in false worship and in horrendous lifestyles. God endured the transgressions of the Canaanites for many years, but there came a time when he would no longer do so. God had said to Abraham that after his descendants had been in a foreign land for some 400 years, they would come back to Canaan and possess it because the sin of the native inhabitants had not yet reached its full measure. When fullness had been reached after a long, long time, then God's judgment finally descended in its full fury. The time of patience and mercy is not indefinite. Isaiah wrote, "Seek the Lord while he may be found." The directive, "Show them no mercy," in addition, displays that God is holy, righteous, and just. Luther wrote, "He who gave life can rightfully take it away from those who have sinned against him alone." Perhaps God could see that the Canaanites had become incorrigible and that it would be useless to impart to them any instruction in the truth. If the Israelites would be led astray by the Canaanites and engage in their idolatry, God, who is consistent in his holiness, righteousness, and justice, would destroy the erring Israelites as well. We learn to have a proper fear of God. God shows no mercy to unbelievers when they die, but pronounces the sentence, "Go to hell." On the last day, unbelievers will not encounter the merciful Christ, but the holy, righteous, just judge, who will say to them, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." We deserved to hear those verdicts, "Go to hell and depart from me into the eternal fire." However, the directive, "Show them no mercy," also shows that God is a God of love and faithfulness. How so? A full understanding of God's command recognizes that its full force was only for the obdurate. One reason for the harsh directive was an attempt to drive some of the Canaanites to confess their sin and sincerely to seek deliverance from the Lord. If any would be converted through the truth, they would be spared and accepted into the Israelite community. An example of this happening was the prostitute Rahab, who was brought to faith in Yahweh, who showed her faith by hiding the Israelite spies, who was not slain when Jericho fell, who married an Israelite man and became an ancestress of Jesus Christ. Further, God was acting in love for Israel. He knew what a threat the idolatrous Canaanites and their paganism posed for the Israelites to lead them astray. God therefore gave the command to protect Israel for the spiritual welfare of his covenant people, so they would not lose their spiritual heritage. Sometimes a cancerous portion of the body has to be cut out so that the person can go on living. If the Canaanites as a whole had been allowed to remain in the land, almost all, if not all, of Israel would have been seduced into false worship and terrible living. They would have deserted Yahweh, and he would have destroyed them. As it happened, pockets of the native inhabitants were left in the land, and these caused the Israelites major problems from the spiritual standpoint for centuries. We learn not to be yoked together with unbelievers and to oppose wickedness. We see then that God said, "Show them no mercy for the good of the Old Testament church." God now directs world history for the good of the New Testament church. We are a part of this church because the loving God brought us to faith in Jesus Christ, the God-man, who, according to his human nature, came from Israel and from the territory which had been known as Canaan. We don't fear hearing from God, "Go to hell and depart from me," because Jesus lived for us, was crucified for us, died for us, and rose from the dead for us. By God's grace, we enjoy the blessings of salvation, including God working all things in our individual lives for our good. We also have the power, in union with Christ, through his word and sacrament, to live a God-pleasing, God-glorifying life. We thus show mercy to others, giving evidence of our faith, and through faith, we receive mercy. But God said, "Show them no mercy," not only for the good of Israel, but also because of his love for the nations. His plan in separating out Israel for his worship and service was that Israel, retaining its spiritual heritage and living in a godly manner, would be a light to the Gentiles. In being faithful to the covenant, Israel would be blessed by the Lord, as he promised in Deuteronomy 28. And this would be noticed by the surrounding peoples, who would be drawn to Israel, where they would hear the truth and be converted. In all of this, Yahweh was showing himself to be the faithful God. In particular, he was keeping his oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that one day their descendants would possess the territory occupied by the nations listed at the beginning of our text. Thus, Yahweh rescued the Israelites from slavery in Egypt, brought them to Canaan, and gave them the promised land. So God used the conquest for two different purposes: to bring righteous judgment on the wicked Canaanites and to fulfill his oath to the patriarchs. God keeps his word. He keeps all of his promises. He can also use the same event to accomplish multiple aspects of his will. That shows his total control of everything. For God, after all, is God. So what do we learn from God saying to the Israelites, "Show them no mercy"? We learn to trust in the Lord at all times and to have a proper fear of the holy, righteous, and just God. We are to have no fellowship with evil, but rather to war against it. We are to rejoice in our salvation, exulting in our blessed relationship with our loving, faithful God. We are to show forth our faith in our lives by being merciful to others, as we have received mercy from Yahweh. Also this: choose your sermon texts carefully. In the name of Jesus, amen.